Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hello there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, getting our new year started, and you want to talk about principles of giving. You did a show on that recently, and you want to continue that theme, and maybe people have maybe missed out on year-end giving properly, so maybe some ideas to keep in mind for this new year.
Yeah, we recently did a show on the three principles of giving, and I want to take a moment and just review them really quick. So the first principle of giving is that giving should be intentional at all times. So it needs to be thoughtful. It needs to be intentional. There's preparation that needs to be done in order to properly make a gift. And specifically when we talk about estate planning, having a strong vision and purpose and intentionality in the giving is really important. As a matter of fact, in estate planning, this is really your final gift. I don't know if it's just going to family and kids or if there's going to be organizations that are worked in, churches, whatever the case may or may not be. If we look at it, it's the final act. It's the final act of passing wealth to those that you believe are going to manage it well, use it well. And so there has to be an intentionality with giving. And of course, if you haven't done estate planning, if you haven't looked at it in a while, then that intentionality barometer is probably waning. And that's what actually getting in and thinking about this is very good, because it creates that thought process of how do I want to make sure that things move, and there's an intention in your heart that you are building up. Now, the second principle with giving is that there should be an expectancy of joy. And oftentimes we get into modes to where we give out of obligation. Maybe even this duty of estate planning is just that. It's a duty. It's not bringing you any joy to think about actually blessing someone else and adding to their life financially, or adding to an organization that you deeply believe in, whether it's a church, whether it's missions, whether it's another nonprofit. Then there's if there's no joy in the thought process of this is going to radically change somebody or has the potential to add to them, even if it's just a little bit, to add something to their life or to their organization or to their cause and to their purpose, then we might be missing out on one of the components of setting up a really good, strong estate plan. So at the end of the day, there should be an expectation that is met with either joy or peace. So I have many people that go through the process with us. And at the end of it, actually, one of the more common things I hear is, oh, we feel so good that we got this done. We are so peaceful that we actually took the step and got in here and finally have done what we wanted to do. And that sense of peace or that sense of joy that says, this is a good thing. This was done well, and it's going to match the picture that I have in my head. And that it goes back to number one, which is with intentionality, there should be an emotion of actually fulfilling the intentionality, either with joy or with peace. And so that's principle number two, is that the end result must create an expectation that this is right and good. And then number three, the third principle in giving is that it needs to have a long-term vision connected with it. In other words, it must be purposeful. There is a group that I am associated with, and it's called Purposeful Giving. And the whole thought process around what this group does and the mentality that they try to bring to attorneys is, what is it that this thing called estate planning, this final act of gift giving, What is its purpose? What is it that is motivating somebody to come to the table, sit down, and actually talk about death and figure out how is wealth going to move? Again, it doesn't matter if it's a little or whether it's a lot, but the purpose behind and the vision behind what a giver is trying to accomplish is critically important. So number one, it has to be done purposefully. There has to be a plan of attack. You have to see a vision. Number two, as you go through the journey, it should create an expectation, and that expectation should be met with either joy or peace. And then number three, the intentionality has to be long-term, because we're not, I mean, in estate planning, this is kind of the final thing. So therefore, it has to go beyond just the paperwork of let's move money when I die. A beneficiary designation can do that. You don't need estate planning. You just need a beneficiary. So you can go to your bank and put a beneficiary designation on your asset. And there's not much thought. There's probably, you're probably not going to walk away going, man, I feel so good that I got that beneficiary designation done. It really took care of all my desires in life. And then it's certainly not going to create any future long-term purpose that you are hoping to accomplish. It's simply going to move money. So estate planning is more. It's more than just a document. It's more than just getting money to move. You can do that at your bank. And so it should be to capture what your vision and what your purpose is behind giving the gift, whether it is to family or whether it is to nonprofits, whether it is to your church, so that it can be used with great purpose and actually have, again, that last moment of gift giving. I also use the word stewardship, which is, this is your last act of stewardship. You have been blessed and have something in your hands. And so this should be one of the most meaningful gifts that you've ever given in your lifetime. It deserves proper dedication, proper focus, proper peace and joy with long-term purpose at hand.
Well, purpose, obviously an important idea in your company. You've named your company Planning with Purpose.
Yeah, that's true.
So very important. And as we get ready to start our planning of giving even in this year, you want to get into some of those principles too.
Yeah. And as we think about giving each year, there's a couple things that might compel you to give. And a lot of them could be tax driven, and that's totally fine. Sometimes you mentioned at the top of the show that you may have missed last year's opportunity to give. And even a statement like that is beholden to the taxation system instead of really having a purposeful intent in your gift giving. And not that that's bad, not that that's wrong. I'm not suggesting that at all. If that is the motivating factor for you to give, then I know many people who give because of tax purposes, and they are very thoughtful and considerate in where the money is going and which organizations they are choosing. And so as you think about how do I want to give at the beginning of the year, well, these three principles are still in play, which is number one, what is your intention? What have you determined to give? Is there a certain percentage? So if you are a Christian, many times there is a biblical principle of tithing. And so many individuals want to ensure that they give minimally 10% and then give up and beyond that. Others are focused on income mitigation. So if you have certain income and you still itemize, then you are able to give very intentionally to ensure that the gift giving will be itemized and match a deduction on your tax return. Some of you may be receiving larger bonuses this year. There may be something that is coming into your hands that you didn't anticipate or that you are anticipating. And there's ways to give far more. A donor advised fund, for example, is a brilliant way to actually give a much larger gift at any time of the year, put it into a donor advised fund. Different organizations have them. I'm very familiar with Schwab, Edward Jones, I think Fidelity has one. I can't remember if Vanguard does. If you use a financial advisor, they may use one of these companies that they're able to assist you create a specific donor advised fund. And the donor advised fund is a great annual way to give, specifically when you're going to receive a larger bonus, or if you have employee stock that is coming to be cashed out, deferred compensation. Sometimes that happens in larger chunks. So actually having a plan set up for your giving and a bucket to go ahead and put a larger gift. Now, the donor advised fund, when you give, the rules around that is that it must be used for charitable purposes only, so you can take the deduction this year against your income taxes. But not all the money needs to leave that fund in the same year that it is given. So if you had a much larger gift to give and you didn't want to put it in the hands of, let's say, a smaller church or a smaller nonprofit that you believe in, and you wanted to spread that gift out over time, then a donor advised fund allows you to actually have that gift cross calendar years and still give through that fund without having to put the larger gift in a specific nonprofit's hands. So a donor advised fund can be a really great way to think about giving, specifically when it is larger and there are income tax reasons to give. Mm. Otherwise, when we're giving, it should come back to those three principles, which is, what have you determined in your heart that you want to give this year? Is that giving you an expectancy of joy and peace? And then is the purpose by which you are giving the gift, is the organization aligning with your purposes? So these are the three principles. And even as you give, these should be ruminating around your thought process and making sure that any type of giving through the year, whether outright, whether it is to an individual, or whether it's something larger and you use something like a donor advised fund, then these three principles need to be at the forefront of your giving thought pattern. And then typically your gift is going to create that second part, which is an expectancy of joy and peace, and that's going to go on to serve a great purpose.
Okay, principles of giving this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. You like the way Paul thinks about this idea of giving in your estate plan. You want to find out more about his services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. You can find past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at principles of giving in estate planning this week, also how maybe giving right now can help out your estate plan eventually. And Paul is continuing along this road. So what are some of the advantages of maybe giving now versus at the end of your life?
Yeah, there's several things to be considered here, which is, number one, there can be an income tax a break if indeed that is important to you. And so talk to your CPA about whether or not the giving this year, as we've start out the year, is actually going to meet your expectations if being tax-driven is one of the purposes behind you thinking through what do you want to do this year for giving. But But in another way, when we give a gift in currently instead of in our estate plan, what that's doing is it's reducing the value of our estate. So why would anyone want to reduce the value of their estate? Well, because we live in Washington, and in Washington state, we have an estate tax, and that threshold is $2,193,000. So what does that mean? It means that if you have over that sum, I'm going to call it $2.2 million for a round number.
Per individual.
Yep, per individual. So that means you get to multiply that by two if you're married. That if you have more than that, then a 15% tax starts when you die on the value up and over that. Then for every million you have up and beyond that threshold, then another 1% gets tacked on up to 21%. So if you reach, if you have an estate worth $8 million, then anything over $8 million is going to be taxed at 21% in Washington state. So now imagine that instead of giving to a nonprofit, we wanted to start giving some of our wealth maybe to other family members. Maybe you have adult children, and they can use a gift more than waiting until you pass away. So are there opportunities to give? Certainly there are. There's ways to blend that into your estate plan and make sure that the giving you do during your lifetime is in conjunction with, and it also meets the same expectation as your estate plan. And what it does is, let's say you have a $10 million estate, you have two kids, and you go, I'm ready to give my kids $1 million, just as an example. So we could set up a different type of trust. We could give that gift into the trust, and anything that is being reduced out of your estate is now being removed from that 21% tax. Now, the difference is that we may give a gift that has a capital gains tax versus all of it being exposed to the estate tax. So one of the advantages, potentially, of setting up your family members or others or is that we are reducing your estate. And why would anyone want to do that? Because there's an estate tax on the backside. And every penny you move out of your estate, 21% then is saved off of that gift. Mm. Now, again, there is some math here that if you're giving it to kids or to other people, that we need to go through to find out what the ultimate savings are. But understand that when you give a gift, the receiver takes that gift with what we call basis. In other words, whatever you paid for that is how they receive it. So oftentimes, the total tax amount, even at a capital gains rate, assuming there's a capital gains rate on the gift you're giving, it can actually be far lower than all of that money being taxed at 21%. So I know when I get into taxes, I start losing you because I don't have a whiteboard. This is radio, and I'm sure that everyone is highly intrigued with me throwing around these numbers. Mm. But the bottom line is that, is there an advantage to potentially thinking through the process of giving now? The answer is yes, but understand that when we give that money, even if we give it in an irrevocable trust, then the first thing that has to be determined is, can you, as the giver, live life, live the quality of life and the expected use of your money? So the quality of life, do you travel? Do you envision purchasing another vacation home? Or what would that money be used for? That making sure that what you want out of life and out of what you have been blessed with is still not going to interfere with the gift giving. In other words, you can give the gift yet still live the same quality of life as though as if you still had it in your estate. So we want to make sure that it is not going to interrupt any of the giver's lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you create then a plan that fully eliminates taxes through giving?
Yes, absolutely.
You can.
Yeah, absolutely. And this really is not a loophole. You know, sometimes we hear about wealthy using loopholes. And yes, they might be there, but you can thank Congress for keeping them there. So most of the time, there's only loopholes because Congress still allows them. But I digress. So can we give? Yes. In estate planning, it's very different. When you give to a charity, you get a dollar for dollar value of a reduction. So if you give to a nonprofit during your lifetime, then that gift is utilized in your income tax. And for simplicity, it's not perfect, but for simplicity, in essence, that gift, you get to write off the gift if you itemize any longer. And it influences the rate of tax that you would pay on your overall income. Well, that's very different than if I give in an estate plan. When I give in an estate plan, and let's say I give $1 million to an organization, I've determined in my heart that my kids get this much, and now I want to add an organization into the mix of beneficiaries. When that organization receives the gift, provided that they're going to qualify as the tax deduction, then we actually get to reduce the estate dollar for dollar, and we have less money that is exposed to that estate tax that I was just talking about. Mm. So yes, you can avoid the estate tax by giving it today. However, when you do, just understand that you may be passing a tax consequence to the receiver. If you don't do it right, you may be giving them money, and they may be exposed to an estate tax when they die. So you're just moving one tax to another tax, or they may be exposed to a capital gains tax, which is the most common. So it doesn't fully eliminate a tax. However, when you do it in an estate plan, because you get a dollar for dollar deduction from the estate, so now I have $10 million, I give $2 million to a nonprofit. Then I am going to look at my estate, and because I gave $2 million away, I'm going to say I only have $8 million exposed to the estate tax in Washington. Mm. So why? Because I got a dollar for dollar deduction versus a deduction during lifetime based upon my tax rate on my 1040. Mm. So there's very different purposes that we need to look at. And, you know, one of the things that, again, that I mentioned is that if we give money during someone's lifetime, do they feel financially insecure? So let's bring down this dollar value and be more relatable to some of the listeners. Right now, you can't have a piece of property in the Seattle area for under $1 million almost. Mm-hmm. And now property prices have been climbing again. And they're even in the winter, they're up and over that mark. So nowadays, it's not tough to be a millionaire. And so therefore, it's not tough to actually get to $2 million like it used to be. Mm. So many listeners are actually going to expose themselves to the estate tax, and a lot of them unknowingly, because if you have life insurance, you have a home, you have some investments, you have some IRA, believe it or not, the at the end of the day, the net estate may actually be over $2 million. Mm. And so so with greater exposure, and specifically with property, it is a bigger issue. So when we look at someone potentially giving to nonprofits during their estate planning process, it'll actually pull down that number so that the estate can reach an untaxable number. Now, there's many fun things that we can do. If you want to make sure that that money is used for charitable purposes and that's the only purpose, great. But many families want to have that gift being used for charity for a period of time, then have it come back to their family tax-free after it has actually pulled the estate tax ramifications off. And so these are complicated issues. Just want to make mention that, yes, there are ways that we can fully take an estate plan and not have a single penny exposed to tax. How? Because you're generous and want to help organizations. That helps society. It helps the organization. And eventually, though, that money can come back and help your family. It's really a win-win-win across the board.
Principles of giving and estate planning, and a good time to start is right now at the beginning of the new year. And you want to find out more about Paul's services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. And it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.